From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Although Galatians contains only 6 chapters, it is one of the sharpest books that Paul wrote. Here he contends for the purity of the gospel against those who sought to bring believers in Christ back under the Jewish ceremonial law, thus adding human works to the finished work of Christ on the cross. Paul denounced such an adulteration of the gospel in no uncertain terms, emphasizing that true believers were to have no fellowship with such deceivers. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence this overview of Galatians under the title, Standing Fast in Gospel Liberty. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Power to Raise. The text is from Psalm 146 and verse 8. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. Am I bowed down? Then let me urge this word of grace before the Lord. It is His way, His custom, His promise, His delight to raise up them that are bowed down. Is it a sense of sin and the consequent depression of spirit which now distresses me? Then the work of Jesus is, in this case, made and provided to raise me up into rest. O Lord, raise me for Thy mercy's sake. Is it a sad bereavement or a great fall in circumstances? Here again the Comforter has undertaken to console. What a mercy for us that one person of the sacred Trinity should become the Comforter. This work will be well done, since such a glorious one has made it his peculiar care. Some are so bowed down that only Jesus can loose them from their infirmity, but he can, and he will do it. He can raise us up to health, to hope, to happiness. He has often done so under former trials, and he is the same Savior, and will repeat his deeds of loving kindness. We who are today bowed down and sorrowful shall yet be set on high, and those who now mock at us shall be greatly ashamed. What an honor to be raised up by the Lord! It is worthwhile to be bowed down, that we may experience His upraising power.
When you call on Him.
It was a number of years ago that Dr. Alan Cairns preached these messages, in which he explains the teaching of each of the New Testament books. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation, a book which tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're happy to make them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, supplies of A Sure Foundation are very limited. Be sure to request your copy today.
We're turning to the book of Galatians this morning, chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. You remember that we're going through the epistles, spending one message on each epistle, trying to get an overview of the main theme, the big message of that epistle. If the Lord wills, we'll come back and do some of them in more detail in future, but I thought it would be something we could do to try and get an overview of the New Testament message. We have been through Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and now we come to Galatians. You'd think with only 6 chapters here it would be an awful lot easier than those big books. But the Apostle Paul may write more briefly at times than others, but it only means he concentrates things all the more densely. So this is not really a short book at all. But we're going to read in chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Ye through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. The churches of Galatia, and by that term, and here I'm cutting through a very intricate controversy among commentators and scholars, by that term is probably meant the churches that Paul founded on his first missionary journey in places like Antioch in Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. The churches of Galatia were formed as a result of Paul's missionary labors. We could say that they were then deformed as the result of the activities of certain Judaizers who, in all probability, came from Jerusalem to convince these people that in order for Gentiles to be saved, they had to submit themselves to the law of circumcision and to the rest of the ritual and the observances of the Jewish law. Now, the entire apostolic band had met in Jerusalem. Acts 15 will describe it for you. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they had utterly repudiated this notion of the Judaizers. And they had very carefully but clearly upheld the teachings of grace incorporated in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But notwithstanding that, these Judaizers came from Jerusalem and they persisted in their pernicious campaign of opposing the ministry of the Apostle Paul, contradicting the great theme of salvation by free grace through faith alone without works. They gave the impression that the Jerusalem apostles, Peter and John, and James, the brother of our Lord, that they all stood behind them. They gave the impression that Paul, he was not one of the pillars of the church. He was not one of those held in esteem. He was, in reality, what we would call a Johnny-come-lately. He was a second-class teacher, and he was running contrary to the true opinion of the apostles. That was the general tenor of their message as they attacked the person of Paul in order to attack the message of Paul. And in Galatia, these churches formed during the very first missionary journey of the great apostle in Galatia, they met with startling success. And they succeeded in subverting all the churches of that region. And that led the apostle to write this brief but very concentrated epistle. I think if you read the epistles of Paul, you'll find that this is the sharpest of all the epistles that Paul wrote. Even when he wrote 2 Corinthians to condemn the sin of those people, and indeed 1 Corinthians. Yet there was in those epistles a note of thankfulness for the people who were standing faithful. There was a note of thankfulness for the response of many spiritually minded people to the word of rebuke. But when he starts off this epistle to the Galatians, there is no time for thanking God for anything about them. Now that's an amazing thing for Paul, because he always found something in the churches for which to be grateful. But as he launches into this epistle, there is no time and there is no occasion for him to give thanks to God at this moment for anything in them. They have broken his heart because they have turned from grace to law. They have turned from faith to works. They have turned from Christianity to Judaism, even though they still maintain the name of Christian. And the apostle, therefore, launches in to this rebuke. Now, at once, as soon as he gets into the very opening words, he goes to the heart of the controversy. And in one of the most lucid and concentrated of all theological documents even found in the New Testament, he utterly demolishes this false gospel of the Judaizers. For that's what it was. It was a false gospel. It was a total perversion of the truth. And as such, it came under the scathing indictment of Paul in the opening chapter. He says of this so-called gospel, it's not another gospel. But there be some that trouble you. They would pervert the gospel of God. Then these famous words, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He says, I don't care who these people are. I don't care what authority they claim. I don't care what names they drop. I don't care how sanctimonious they sound. I don't care what pressure they are able to bring to bear. I am telling you that even if an angel from heaven came and preached what they're preaching, I would say, let that angel be cursed of God in the outmost hell. Let him be devoted to eternal punishment. Because this is not a gospel at all. This is a perversion and a denial of the gospel of Christ. You see, on the issue of salvation, by free grace, through faith in the merits of Christ, without works of man of any description, on that issue, Paul was not willing to compromise one iota. There were many issues over which Paul would say, let every man have his conscience. There were many issues over which Paul would say, look, there is nothing that is going to hurt the church. There is nothing that is going to wreck our testimony. There is nothing that touches the heart of the gospel. So let us all seek the will of God and walk in the light of God's revelation to us. But on this issue, Paul says, there is no room for compromise. And on this issue, he would say, I will withstand anybody. Even when Peter came to Antioch in Syria, the base of all Paul's missionary activity, when Peter came there, preaching the very same gospel that Paul preached, but nonetheless, by his behavior, when certain of these Judaizers came down from Jerusalem, by his behavior, by withdrawing himself from the Gentiles, making them second-class citizens, not being willing to eat with them, in case he would come under the censure of these legalistic Jews. When Peter did that, Paul withstood him to the face. Paul's co-worker and his closest friend at that time was Barnabas. And even Barnabas was scared into submission by these Jews. But Paul withstood Barnabas to the face. You see, this is a matter that is so vital to the gospel that Paul the Apostle would have been willing, and this is a very big statement, but it's true, Paul would have been willing to separate even from the Apostle Peter. He would have been willing to separate from Barnabas, his friend and co-worker, because they were in some way detracting from this great truth of justification by free grace, through faith, without works, Christ's merit alone being the ground of our acceptance with God. You know, there can never be fellowship between light and darkness. There can never be fellowship between heaven and hell, between God and the devil, between truth and outright error. There can never be fellowship between the gospel and the perversion of the gospel. Those who are preaching the devil's gospel, that Paul is here opposing, those who are preaching a mixture of law and grace to get people to heaven, are not people with whom we are to have fellowship. They are people with whom we are to have no fellowship, and we are to oppose.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.